Hello and welcome to edition 235 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula One and we are relevant again. Just you wait. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK. We are sat at the iconic Rushcutters public house, although the kitchen's broken, don't tell anyone, on the outskirts of Norwich. We are also going out on Future Radio and we are here to review the Brazilian Grand Prix. And it wasn't quiet. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. A very good evening to you. And joining us on tonight's pod, we have Damon Hill Radical and blogger Blogs on Wheels, Richard Baxter, hashtag points all.
Hello, good evening.
2018 NRF1 newbie, Stuart, as in Jackie Muller.
Good evening.
And our latest debutant, another McLaren fan, it's a fair cop for Nathan, the Tuckster Tuck.
Good evening.
Getting more like Alan Partridge by the passing week. I hope we are all well. What's happened in your life since you were last on, Stuart? Go on.
I only got married.
Yes.
But it's been awesome. So, loving it.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Is the lucky lady?
Yeah. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No. Lucky lady, is she a Formula One fan?
She's not, but I'm trying.
Keep going. Okay. Won't take long. Rich, go on.
I did hear a funny story, actually, because Stu actually sits next to my girlfriend now at work, and she did say that Jess came around to say something, and then basically just walked away and said, "I don't want to know." So, yeah. I've got your back. I've got your back, Stu.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a tall order, is that what you're saying?
It could be tough.
Yeah, it could be tough. Well, you know, Formula One's not for everyone. Thankfully, all of us here and all of you out there, it is. Rich, you well?
Yeah, good, yeah. I actually, I've been away this weekend and I met another guy at a party in London.
All right, was it? Love this.
I met this guy called Shay.
Yeah.
And he was a big F1 fan.
Yeah.
So I told him about the podcast and I said I'd give him a shout out. So, hi, Shay.
Hey, Shay. I'm a bit annoyed that he's not already listening to us. We're niche.
He did say to me he didn't know what a podcast was.
Wow. Okay.
So
that's
a
good mitigation.
I don't know if he was already drunk at the time or not, but.
18 right now.
Yeah.
Everyone has a podcast. Never mind listening to them. Well, fair play to Shay. Sounds like a dude. So I'm glad he's now clearly a rabid NRF1 podcast fan, which is great. And it's good that so many people are doing podcasts now. I think that's really brilliant. Seventh season. Nathan, welcome. This has been weeks and months in the offing. I'm glad that you've made it.
Yeah, I'm more than happy to be here. It's great to have finally have my debut.
I know, it's brilliant. We had to squeeze it in just before the end of the season.
Yeah.
So we appreciate your time. And of course, hopefully you're now officially a member of the podcast crew. You'll never lose that. Hopefully we'll have you on as regularly as we can have everyone on. It's actually quite a big old wedge of people. I've got to go through the standard questions we ask all our newbies.
Okay
ready? Don't be afraid of these. They're perfectly fine. Favourite ever Formula One driver?
It's Ayrton Senna.
It's pretty
standard answer, and we'll actually get in the way of one of the other questions. Your favourite ever Formula One constructor stroke team?
Well, that would be McLaren.
Yeah, which I've already alluded to, actually. Yeah. This isn't going very well, is it?
Yeah.
And then our two staples, Senna or Prost?
Senna.
Yeah, okay, fair dues. And Heikki Kovalainen or Jarno Trulli?
I'll go Jarno Trulli, I think.
Any particular reason?
Not really, I just like his name.
He has got a great name, always had a great name. Both top guys, Norfolk's own. the Finn and the Italian, Norfolk's own, most definitely. That's how we work on this podcast, so that's the way it goes. All right, well, let's get stuck into the action, shall we? Let's be honest, the Drivers' Championship was sorted before we went to Brazil. The Constructors' Championship is now sorted, and we'll talk about that in a bit. Let's talk about the biggest thing that happened, though, this weekend, which was, of course, Max Verstappen and Esteban Ocon going toe-to-toe, wheel-to-wheel, shove-to-shove, and then penalty-to-penalty, I suppose, by the end of it as well. I'm really interested in what all you guys think. I will chip in with my opinions too. There's loads of opinions out there. Let's get ours out there. Stuart, what did you make of all the shenanigans?
It was unnecessary and...
It's good though, wasn't it?
It was really good. It was. You can't say it wasn't good. I was saying to the guys just before, like, I know it happened and, you know, Max is, what, 19 seconds ahead. Why did his race engineer not say, like, come on, Ocon's sort of steaming up, just let him through, get on with it. It could have been avoided, I think. And yes, Ocon did the wrong thing, but I don't know. It's easy to blame Ocon, and yeah, but I still think, you know, Max is in, like, they can see everything through GPS. They should have seen it come in a way.
I've had a great point from Lewis in that, and obviously he's very high and mighty at the moment and sat on his pedestal as a four-time, five-time world champion. You know, this is what I would have done, Max. Listen to me. But I do sense that Lewis probably would have found a way just to let them through or not crash into them somehow.
Yeah, probably so. And the aggressiveness of both of them was just unnecessary at that particular moment. They're not racing each other, and I know what you're saying, Stu, about like Ocon is coming up at a pace, but he's not racing with Max. I don't know. If I put myself in that position, I'd probably just think, if I unlap myself or not, does it really matter? I'm not racing against him, and there's no one racing me at that moment, so I just wouldn't want to tangle with the leader. I think I'd just leave it at that.
It was one of those really funny things. It was like completely avoidable, and you can completely argue for both drivers what they could have done better. I mean, Ocon, don't fight when you've got nothing to fight for. And Verstappen, I mean, you know, this guy is getting a bit feisty. Maybe don't quite go for that apex as much. Maybe just leave, you know, an extra 6 foot just to be safe. But at the end of the day, they're the guys who are going 190 odd miles an hour into that first corner. The adrenaline's rushing. You know, at that moment in time, you know, you got milliseconds to react. And they're human, so things happen. And it's like it's kind of funny because in Brazil, I can't remember the exact year, I'm going to say maybe 2002 2003, Jos Verstappen took out Montoya.
It was Brazil 2001. He did Jos Verstappen straight over the back of Montoya as a back marker, wasn't it? That was the last time a back marker took out a race leader. I mean, come on. There's a little bit of what would you call it? Schadenfreude? I don't suppose you would you? Coincidence.
Karma.
Yeah. Max paying for his dad's mistakes.
Yeah. But, you know, there was a lot of pointless racing. I mean, it's not, I know it was practice, but was it Stroll and Lando Norris? You know, racing along the start finish straight, and Stroll was just an idiot. It was just racing him for no reason. It seemed like a lot of stupid mistakes all weekend.
Into qualifying as well, of course, because we saw what turned out to be Sorokin on an outlap, just flying up behind Hamilton, who was making some space.
Oh, that was so close to a crash, though. And it could have been a horrible crash. Really high speed.
And we see that happen to drivers further down the grid, and we're often very critical of, like, what are they doing there? They should be off the line if there's a fast car coming through. And at the time, I was like, Hamilton's really f***ed up here. He's got to kind of take a bit of a rap for this. When it came out that Sorokin was on an outlap, you're kind of thinking, what's going on?
What's he doing? Why is he hurtling up like that?
I like the idea of Lance Stroll trying to prove a point so he can, you know, get a seat next year maybe, and try to prove himself. And also, Daddy's got the team, don't forget. So I don't need that. Daddy's going to brace me. It's fine. I thought, basically, the elements of both with Max and Esteban are the things that they did wrong and the reasons for which they did them wrong, so to speak, bad English, are the reasons why we love them. The fact that they are so quick, so single-minded, the fact that no doubt Esteban Ocon came up behind the race leader and thought, well, I'm going to have him. And it's like, and I think Charlie Whiting was actually spot on in terms of what he said on the incident, which is that it's all fine, but what you can't do if you're coming up to lap the leader, against the leader, is fight with them to overtake them. If you're that quick, you should be able to just find your way past them. And also, as they also mentioned, he would have had DRS on the next couple of turns time, turn four. So, I mean, that's a pretty big misjudgment. Yes. But likewise, Max, you know, as you said,
through those S's was just always going to be dangerous for both of them, really.
I mean, and so that's all of the sort of initial stuff. And then we got the really fun games. You know, Max Verstappen, fair play. He said he was going to him if he saw him in the paddock. Then he saw him and, all right, he didn't him, but he shoved him. You know, so, it wasn't like he wasn't
passed as well. Yeah. He said it in the cockpit, didn't he? And then he's had time to calm down, park up, get out, get his helmet off, get to the weigh station, and then, well, then he's seen him, and it's just all kicked off then.
Did you see him when he got out of the car, though? He was physically red. You could see his face, and you could see he was you know, absolutely fuming. And it's like, it's not very often you see a racing driver kind of that wound up as soon as they're out of the car.
Since Michael Schumacher, probably. I mean, it's interesting because his engineer sort of said, I don't know what to say. And rather than calm him down, I think it stoked Max up. He probably had a lot of people around him going, oh, it's disgraceful, blah, 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 like racing drivers do. And maybe they could have done with just saying, look, let's just leave it for a bit, Max, and just calm him down. Whereas his engineer, who I don't know who he is, I can't remember, it's Lambesi, isn't it? And he's English. That's the two things I remember Callum correcting me on a few months ago. He does seem to get the... considering some of the driver engineer relationships, I'm not sure that the one is necessarily the most healthy, but Max was properly on one. I mean, he stormed off the podium, didn't he, the moment that they got the champagne out, then had to come back to take the picture, which I thought was brilliant. So he had to physically come back onto the podium, which probably annoyed him even more. So he's got to do some, not community service, because he's not been, you know, arrested or charged for the, and you'll know all about this, Nathan, obviously, but it's public service. This is exciting. What public service do you think he should do? Because we should probably come up with this. What public service should Max Verstappen now have to do?
Some sort of, you know how a lot of people go on speed awareness courses and something like that? I don't know if they have such a thing.
Well, I mean, having done three of them, I can recommend that they're really good things to do.
Very valuable.
Very valuable.
Yeah, quite. What do you reckon?
Go to Legoland and do the driver's course there for kids.
It sounds amazing.
Sounds pretty good though, doesn't it?
Have you done it?
When I was about six, maybe. Yeah. But yeah, it's damn good.
What are you in? Like a Lego car?
Yeah, pretty much. And you get your own little license at the end of it. So
do you?
Yeah, you know,
oh my God.
They could do an FIA sponsored thing.
There's no way he's doing that as a punishment. I'll go and do it myself. Oh, that's a great idea. Rich, what do you reckon? What should Max do? Maybe you should like clean Lewis's tyres for a week or something.
I think he should be punished by having to visit a certain podcast at a certain pub and be forced to buy everyone drinks.
That's a great punishment.
And then drive them home. And obviously, like, do the podcast as well.
Yeah, don't forget that bit. Yeah. Well, I'm a bit offended now you think that's a punishment. It would be one of his best experiences in terms of Formula One media, I would imagine. I'm sure there's something up there. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he could do the commentary on a race. Or there must be someone who's really annoyed him that he should... Him and Carlos Sainz could do something together or something. I don't know. I'm struggling for any more, but there we go. So... Max has obviously got that punishment. I think Esteban Ocon had a decent punishment. So are we all happy with how it was resolved in the end? And will there be any further fallout, do we reckon?
I don't think there'll be anything further. I mean, reports said they shook hands in the paddock that night.
While he was shoving him.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's kind of done and dusted. It's there. It's kind of, you know, over. But if anything comes up where they're wheel-to-wheel, in any future race, there's always going to be that bit of tension, like we saw, you know, Ocon and Perez.
We're all going to look for the first time that happens. Right?
Yeah.
When they first come against each other, we're all going to be thinking, oh, here we go. I must say that although, and you know, you cannot condone assaulting people, shoving people, I do quite enjoy the passion of it.
Yeah.
Of seeing that how much it matters. I mean, maybe he's just a mentalist hothead, I don't know, but... And there's probably an element of that, but I just enjoy seeing how much it means that someone wants... It's not, you know, they're not just in a procession. He's not just here to earn money and drive a flash car and a flash job. It really means it to him, and he's lost a Grand Prix win, and that means so much to him that 10 minutes after it's all calmed down and he's got out of the car, he's still raging. And that passion is kind of... like I like that. He's obviously gone about it in the wrong way, but I like the fact that it means that much to him.
And I mean, reflecting on the fact that he made such a good start to the race, we should have been talking about that. We should have been talking about the overtakes. There were some fantastic moves in there, and you're just like, this guy's fantastic, look at him, and everyone's raving about how he'll definitely be a future world champion. And then we end up talking about him shoving, which I guess is kind of like why we can maybe be a little bit flippant towards the penalty, because ultimately what happened was kind of quite flippant, and we all liked it a little bit, I think.
Yeah, it's just a shame. Completely driver of the day, unquestionably. Those overtakes were fantastic. Like, that's late breaking, you know, Hamilton-esque, isn't it? You know, they were just quality. They really were, and it's such a shame. He did deserve it, and there's no doubt about it. He should have won it.
And I guess the issue with maybe looking forward to seeing when Esteban and Max next come up against each other is that we could only have one more race of Esteban Ocon, couldn't we? At the moment, we don't. He's not got a seat. I think Williams probably is the only seat going. So, I just wonder if, even though maybe it wasn't entirely his fault, whichever, blah blah blah, that the damage to Esteban is going to be quite significant here in terms of what happens next season.
Yeah, I mean, there could be a few teams who are put off by it. I mean, he's had last season and a little bit this season with Perez, his teammate. You know, they weren't making way, they weren't really working as a team until they were really kept under, you know, held back under a leash, basically. So, I mean, whilst the team can say, oh, he's had an incident with a front runner and he's being lapped, they can also say, well, is he going to work for the team? If we get him, is he going to do the job that we want him to? Or is he just going to be in his own world? He's still a young driver. I think he's still got a lot to learn. So, I mean, I think he's still get a seat in the future. Mercedes, I think, will help out if they need.
Well, so. I was going to say that's probably the interesting fact was that Toto Wolff, Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton were the three people who really backed Esteban as well as his own team.
Young drivers, isn't he, as I understand it? So. Yeah, so, yeah. And it would be a shame to jettison him from the competition completely, but like you say, whether that means he actually has a seat next year or he has to look to another sort of discipline within motorsport, I don't know.
Well, you look like Danny Kvyat got treated terribly and then goes away but gets a seat at Toro Rosso next year, so it's not, you know, his reputation was not tarnished, but he wasn't highly regarded when he left Formula 1, yet goes away, does some solid test work with Ferrari and gets a seat at Toro Rosso again. So I don't think he'll definitely have a Formula 1 seat, even if it's not next year, probably the year after, I reckon.
It's not over yet.
It's not, absolutely not.
Okay, well, have a quick reminder of the best places to interact with us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handle for all three is at the NRF1. You can email us, we love those, nrf1podcast@gmail.com, and the website nrf1.uk. Let's have some NRF1 pit stops. We're going to have a couple of stops this time, if we may, and we're going to obviously stop at Mercedes first of all, because they are constructors champions for the fifth time in a row. So this is a proper domination, and actually with no major change in formula coming up, so a phenomenal effort. They also have the biggest budget, I think, don't they, by all accounts, and the biggest team. So how much do we factor in that and what this actual domination is in terms of Formula 1?
Well, their only real opposition is Ferrari, and they just this season in particular have had moments, Ferrari, where they're so close to beating Mercedes on a regular basis, and then it just all falls apart. You know, Sebastian crashes when he's leading, and it just all unravels, and almost looks like, you know, the whole Germanic process of we are a machine and we win and that's all we do, and then you've got the old Italian thing of like we can be brilliant but we can also just fall apart at any moment, and that just kind of looks the way that Vettel is kind of carrying himself at the moment. He just looks, he's lost it.
It's the old national stereotypes, but you can't really argue with them, can you, to be honest? Rich?
Yeah, I think Ferrari and Vettel kind of need this break now, because if they're going to come back next season, they need to obviously learn from the mistakes. And obviously, you alluded to, you know, like Vettel crashing from the lead and things. And I think really he was really on top of it in Germany, had it all under control, and then it was just that silly mistake. And from then, his season kind of unravelled.
Like a seminal moment, wasn't it? When it just seemed to, you know, the sight of him in the wall and then just like getting out and like. That kind of was the end of it, almost. As you say, it just went all downhill from there.
So, I mean, I wonder if that was something mentally for him that really kind of struck. I mean, he's going to need the summer break, or winter break as it is, just to really kind of rejuvenate and get ready for next season, because it's going to be a long season again.
Where does this rank in terms of F1 domination period? I mean, clearly Ferrari had their own period of domination, didn't they, back in the day with Michael Schumacher, so I guess the perfect magical mix of Italian flair and German resilience. But yeah, this, I mean, they're already outstripped, of course, what Red Bull did a few years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's hard work, isn't it? You know, they started out when Red Bull was in their domination, and yes, the budget is insane that they've got, but they have worked hard at it. And I think Lewis has helped a lot, because they need a fantastic driver. They need a backup good driver too. Bottas is a solid driver and helps the team so much, albeit paid a lot too. And you know, I think Ferrari, they've done really well this year to catch up. And there was times when you thought, this is a game changer, you know, the season's going to turn completely around, but it didn't. But I think, I don't know, at least another couple of years Mercedes will be on top.
Yeah, we're obviously talking quite a lot about Ferrari in terms of relative to Mercedes, but it is almost this idea this year, I thought, that Ferrari were the team who were desperate to achieve something they haven't done for a long time, and they did so much of it in such a rusty way. Mercedes are so well rehearsed now, they're so used to winning and what it takes to win, that they always seemed relentless in terms of what they were doing and so sure of themselves, whereas we didn't see any of that assurity from Ferrari.
No, and even when the Mercedes haven't been as fast, you know, through the speed traps, they're not as quick, and the pace, and everyone's saying, oh, the pace on the Ferraris is insane, Lewis is still winning those races, and they kind of end up looking at each other and wondering why and can't quite work it out. I don't know what the reasons are, but like you say, describing Mercedes as this huge well-oiled machine, I think, is probably quite a good analogy for that.
And of course, before we start next year, I'm sure we'll have spoken lots about Ferrari and the dynamic with Charles Leclerc as well as or Lee Clark alongside Seb next year, because that's going to be a fascinating dynamic given this season and the pressure that will be on them for next. Okay, that's good. That's Ferrari and Mercedes, so I'm counting that as two. Third of all, let's stop off at McLaren, shall we? Because McLaren had a shocking qualifying, and as I think it was Glenn Freeman, is it Glenn Freeman, the Autosport reporter? Give me 2 seconds. Is this for recording?
Can be. Asked in the official FIA press conference whether Ocon had antagonised him, he complained only that his rival was being a pussy.
Well, now there you go. That's quite.
You would not get Lewis Hamilton saying. He would not say something like that, and neither would Valtteri Bottas. It would just be straight bat all the time.
Him and Magnussen need their own little show, don't they?
And those characters, regardless of what you say, are so crucial to the success of Formula 1 over the coming years. Suck my balls. So yes, it was nice segue, I appreciated that, Stuart, well done. Glenn Freeman, it was, who tweeted, this is of course back on McLaren's track, we're 18th and 20th in qualifying, we need a distraction. Announce Indy? Question mark. And boom, Indy 500 next year with Fernando Alonso, so he can get his triple crown. Initially I thought it meant that McLaren were actually going full-blown into Indy next year rather than just one race, so it's not quite going to be the massive distraction I feared it might be next year. But even then, I mean, I'm not being funny, I've got a few other things to worry about rather than go heading straight headfirst into Indy, and it almost feels like a way of just working around the problem of Fernando wanting to do it but having his various engine contracts and things.
it's funny, I mean, McLaren during the race, qualifying obviously like you said was not to plan, and the race they just seemed to be in their own little world and kind of they couldn't do any racing against anyone else, they were just racing each other. It all kind of went under the radar a bit, but we saw a few replays and like Van Dorn throwing one up the inside of Alonso and Alonso returning the favour next one, and it was just they're having these races and then blue flags come out, they're like, we're racing each other, let's just keep going. They just didn't care.
All around.
Yeah, they just didn't care. It's just like, if you've got a slow car, I suppose you're not losing anything when it comes to 5 second penalties. So,
I feel like we've spoken a lot about McLaren this year, so.
Just desperate though,
well, this is realistically desperate. What happens from here? What happens from here, as in how you view it? And because they've made a lot of changes again. So.
I saw an interview with Zak Brown quite a number of races ago, and as a McLaren fan, I was quite horrified to hear him just basically talk about, you know, this might take 4, 5, 6 years, is what he said. And I just thought, wow, I really thought with the Renault engine that it would not be quite so bad. I thought it would be, you know, that much better. But then if the engine is the same as you're getting in you know, other Renault cars that are doing well, and you only have to look at Red Bull as the classic, you know, how well it can work, you've got to look at everything else. The whole package is just poor, and they used to be so good at that. They used to be so good, and it's just, you know, dismal, really.
And they haven't been able to improve with, you know, Fernando Alonso at the helm, for which, for all his faults, is a driver who should be able to give decent feedback and help, yeah, you know, have a team built around, yeah, him to develop, absolutely, the car. Next season it's Carlos Sainz and Lando Norris, who has had his own particular journey to F1, but he is going to be a newbie, and they'll obviously have a lot of hopes in him, but it's a completely different playing field coming into F1.
Yeah, it is, and I think McLaren need to... It's the aero. It really is. They need to sort that out because, you know, like you said, Nathan, the engine's, you know...
Proven.
Exactly.
Proven in other cars.
And, you know, how many breakdowns have Toro Rosso had this year? Barely any in Honda compared to what McLaren had. And, yeah. And if Red Bull are quite willing to take on a Honda engine, you know... Jesus, it can't be that bad.
I tell you what, I think the comparison is now so sad no one talks about it in terms of what Toro Rosso have done this year with the Honda. And of course, Red Bull are already getting a little bit excited about what they might be able to do with the Honda next year. Ooh, we'll see. Right, there'll be more pit stops and chat about the 2018 Brazilian Grand Prix to come, alongside all the major talking points away from the track that I can remember. Anyway, just check out patreon.com/NRF1, patreon.com/NRF1, right after this podcast. Before we get to our of the weekends, Rich, we've got some comms, haven't we? Did you do this?
I did this with a bit of help.
Who from?
Yeah, I had Neil, my girlfriend's cousin, is 9, and he's just been getting into F1 this season. So we were watching the race together at the weekend.
So he was your Martin Brundle to your Crofty?
Crofty.
To be honest, I'm going to say now, this could be the last commentary I ever do.
Why?
Because...
Don't say that!
Because he's that good, and he's only 9. I mean...
He's going to ditch you, you reckon?
Yeah. He's going to be the one sitting here, and I'm going to be the one sat at home playing Xbox.
Well, in fairness, you'll probably have to go and record it. So it'll be even worse. Yeah. You'll have to sit there recording it for him, and he won't let you on.
That's true, so... but no, he was really on it. I mean, I was a bit, you'll hear it, and he was faster than me to notice what was going on. So it's the young eyes, that's what it was.
And, yeah, it's the young
and eyes. Possibly the lack of a hangover that he, you know, I,
wow. Yeah. No sympathy for that. All right then, shall we play it?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Brazilian Grand Prix. Today you're with me, Rich, and I've got a special guest alongside me. I have Neil, he's 9 years old and he's getting into F1. Say hi, Neil.
Hi.
So,
strong
Neil.
Start.
You're just getting into F1, so what do you like about Formula 1? What's your favourite kind of thing to do with it?
Make sure Hamilton wins.
Is that what you like, just Hamilton winning?
Yep.
Yeah? So Hamilton's your favourite driver?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah? So it's a Brazilian Grand Prix today. You excited as I am?
Probably not.
Oh, fair enough. So,
never work with kids, Rich.
Win it? They're just doing the formation lap now. Who's going to win the Grand Prix?
Hamilton.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
Yep.
You said to me earlier you think that Vettel might do it today.
Yeah, but Hamilton.
You're just saying Hamilton now. So, Hamilton's the man. You heard it here first. So, Neil, what's your favourite track? Do you know your favourite track, really?
The one in Italy.
You know the one in Italy? Monza?
Yes.
Yeah, Monza. That's a good one. I know Alex will be proud as an Italian guy on our podcast, so you know. Right, brilliant. So they're on the formation lap, they're about to start. So we'll get a quick bit of commentary when we start. Okay, so the last car has just pulled into position. Green flag at the back, and it's 1 light, 2 lights, 3 lights, 4 lights, 5 lights, pause.
Go!
And it's a pretty decent start from Hamilton. Vettel seems to be struggling a bit. He's got Bottas looking to the outside. Vettel's locked up quite big though. He's kept it okay. And I think the Mercedes there is that.
Yeah, Hamilton and Bottas.
Hamilton and Bottas. So yeah, Bottas got on. Bottas got it. It's down the straight. Okay. Now there's gonna be a big slipstream here. It's bumpy. Everyone seems we got through safely. Yeah, I think it's still Hamilton and Bottas. It's still looking pretty good. Oh, there's a Haas gone around a bit wide at the back. And we've got Verstappen, I think, right on the tail of Raikkonen here. it's still pretty much Hamilton, Bottas, Vettel at the front. Nothing major has happened there, but it's a long race. We might get some more. And Ricciardo is already trying to come through the pack. He's already got Sauber and a Haas with him. So it's a nice, clean start. Yeah, good overtake from Ricciardo there around the outside of the Haas. That was good. So yeah, let's see what happens for the rest of the race.
Well done, Neil. Top work.
He's good, isn't he?
He is. He's better than you, to be honest, Rich. He was calling it before you were.
Brilliant. He got the go. He got the Hamilton and Bottas. I was like...
That was a sneaky one, getting in the go before you did. I thought that was a bit cheeky. He's an ambitious one. You want to watch him. Well done, Neil. Do more of that, please. But we'll let Rich do it as well. We'll share the love. Okay, let's rattle through these of the weekend awards, shall we? Rodolfo Gonzalez, driver of the weekend.
Max.
Which you had already said. Rich?
Yeah, I agree with that. The one little thing that annoyed me was, his kind of shoving and stuff and a bit of aggression, but like we've said, it was kind of understandable. But there wasn't anyone who really stood out massively, so I think, yeah, Max Verstappen.
I'm going to be a little bit controversial. I'm going to say Kimi.
Oh,
because I think he had a great drive.
True.
A really good drive. And when you look at how he completely dominated his teammate and left him in his wake, basically, in supposedly the same piece of equipment, I think that was a top drive.
In terms of how Ferrari works, probably a worse piece of equipment, because that's generally how they have done things. But we've seen the best of Kimi.
Got the best out of it.
And we've seen the best of Kimi just since he... it was announced that he was leaving, basically. That's kind of how that's worked, so that bodes well. Good shout, that. I'm just conscious of the fact that if Max hadn't have done his thing with Esteban, we wouldn't have had much to talk about. So, but there we go. Team of the weekend?
I don't know, really.
Should we ditch this award? Because it's always a bit like, no one really cares. But
I'm going to go for a different one while we can. I don't want to say Renault because of the first lap.
Yeah. Fair enough.
That's it.
No quarter asked.
None given.
It's a fair shout. I like that. Well, I'll say McLaren because, they decided to announce Indy because they were...
I was going to say McLaren for not giving a...
Yeah.
I think I probably would go Red Bull. The way that they just... qualifying was just a non-event for them, or comparatively speaking, and they just waited it all towards the race, and it worked so well. And the grip that they got out of their car compared to everybody else, almost got them a win.
Outstanding point. And the fact they were honest about it and they didn't cloak and dagger it. They literally just said, yep, that's what we're doing. Yeah, so enjoy this, which just doesn't happen, that sort of honesty in Formula One. Well, and also Mercedes for winning the constructors' title again,
and the race,
Pastor Maldonado of the weekend. Well, again, this is probably straightforward, but
Marcus Ericsson.
Oh, he just ran out of bodywork to shed by the end of it.
Car just gave up on him, didn't it?
So, it's fallen off it.
Yeah,
awesome. Does he mess around?
There was literally no downforce by the end. He was saying it's undriveable. I can't drive this. But then did it just keep falling off? Or was it because he kept hitting things? I didn't really see him. I can't really remember him. All I saw was replays of bits falling off, not replays of him hitting anything.
In the first corner, I think there was, in the first lap, there was a bit of collision.
Yeah.
Did him and Grosjean touch?
That sounds
fair. Yeah.
I mean, it's Marcus Ericsson. We're well aware of what he is. He is off to Indy, isn't he? IndyCar next season now? Because he's not in F1 anymore. Norfolk's own.
Wouldn't it be funny if he won the Indy 500 and Alonso's just out of stage?
But didn't that happen when Fernando raced in it? It wasn't this year, it was the year before, wasn't it? Who won that?
Was it Hülkenberg?
I'm sure it wasn't. It was an ex Formula One driver, wasn't it?
Sato, I think it was Takuma Sato.
good luck, Fernando. I love Fernando, it's harsh, but there we go. Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend. Well, obviously, but has anyone got anything else that was remarkable?
Hamilton got out of his car at the end of the race. Celebrated, did his little step up on the car, and his team were all waiting by the barrier, and he goes and he jumps, and someone pushed the barrier over. They all fall flat.
On the floor.
They just dropped him, and they were like, oh, and you could say everyone get up like, is he okay? Is everyone okay? And it's like kind of about 5-6 seconds of like, shit, what's going on? And then they kind of get up and like, yeah, we just lift him in the air now, it's fine. And it just carried on. And then, it was hilarious.
Loved it. 10 points.
I'd go with that as well. That was a good comedy moment. Yeah, comedy moment.
And you're with that as well? I appreciated Otmar Schaffnauer was live on Sky Sports when, and of course they had a lot to talk to him about because of Esteban's antics, and he was just like, no. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
Watch it back and tell me, Crofty.
Yeah.
Well, that's not kind of how this is supposed to work, Otmar, but there we go. So I quite enjoyed some of that. Sebastian Vettel driving on the weighbridge and breaking it and getting in a tears for that. I mean, that just about summed up where Sebastian's head has been at the moment.
Alonso as well with like about 20 laps to go. Don't talk to me anymore. Yeah. The whole race. I don't want to talk to anyone.
The rest of my McLaren career. Yeah, leave me alone. I'm just going to rock up in Abu Dhabi, let me race, and then we'll go and do it.
The weighbridge thing was hilarious. It just made me chuckle. You know, driving on and he's knocking the cone over and then he's nearly... And the guy thinks goes to slowly pick up the cone really slowly and he's coming, come on, clapping his hands, come on, and then he edged forward and the guy thought he was going to run him over, and it was just, and then he broke it, didn't he break it as he drove off.
€25,000 I think
could use the weighbridge after
going unnecessarily slowly. It's like
during quali as well. Yeah. It seemed a bit.
Every second counts, and
with those looming dark clouds of rain that we talked about, that are always at Interlagos.
It was exciting, though, right? It's like you see that, and you're like, "Oh, is he going to get a lap in? Is it going to be a repeat of what was the race the other day where they didn't? I can't remember, but yeah, they had that race a few weeks ago, and it rained, and they f***ed it.
Yeah, I can't remember which race it was, but I roughly remember. And also Japan, rather. And Sebastian Vettel talking about having something loose around his legs. Classic Seb there, having mischief. What a mischief maker he is. There we go. So, in terms of our race rating, we need to rate the race out of 11. So first at the moment is Azerbaijan, obviously, with the US and Italy joint second, and then Germany fourth. At the other end, Monaco was the worst race before Spain and then Russia. So, you know, bits happened, but then the race itself was a bit average, I thought. So what do you reckon, out of 11?
7.
I'm going to go a little higher. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to go 9. I thought it was a 9. Yeah, I thought it was a great... Lots of stuff going on. I enjoyed it.
I was going to cut it down the middle. I was going to say 8. It was a good race. Obviously, it could have been better with more racing at the front of the field, but the top 6 seemed to be so tightly matched with each other for the mass majority of it. You know, it's what's going to happen sometimes where they're going to be there fighting, but it was a good race. Lots of entertainment, so I'm going to say 8.
All right, well, I'm going to say 8.2. Just because, so that'll be something above 8, then, won't it? So that's exciting. There we go. And, you know, it's always good when you have a race where at one point you sit up and go, ho, ho, ho. Yeah. I think that's sometimes that's all we can ask for.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was catching...
Oh, is that literally what you did?
This morning at work, I exclamated out loud and everyone was like, what the hell's going on? It's like, oh... You won't understand. But yeah, it's when Ocon hit.
Right, talk about you watching the race at work then.
What?
And the short final question we'd like to ask, who will have the biggest smile on their face heading home on their private jet plane?
Toto Wolff.
I'll take that. Make sure you catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice. The link is nrf1.uk/podsubscribe, and hopefully all the links are there that you need. If it isn't, or you need to get a hold of us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. And if you're listening via iTunes or the podcast app via Apple, please give us a rate and a review, because we like that. nrf1.uk/isonitunes.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers. So it's the final race of the season, Abu Dhabi coming up, round 21. It's been a f***ing long season. We're all a bit tired by this point. I think someone put a tweet up saying you can see at this point, and that was in Brazil, how tired the F1 employees are and mechanics as they walk around at this point. It's like, oh God, give me a bed. So we're all a bit tired. That is the way it is. In terms of Abu Dhabi, can you all give me one thing you're looking forward to around this race? And Rich obviously won't be going because you're not going this year. So there we go.
that possibly, as we talked about, the last opportunity to see Ocon and Max wheel to wheel.
That's a shout. That is a good shout.
Thank God we got that.
Alonso not giving a f- even more than what he did in Brazil.
I mean, how rogue could he go?
I think he could just park it. He could just pull up, couldn't he, after about five laps and just think, oh, I've had enough of this.
Pull up, it's just a deck chair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just we've done that. Yeah.
I was going to say, like,
and an umbrella as well. get a brolly out. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, you know, racing games when you're a kid and it's like, you spin out, you think, I'll go the wrong way, take everyone else out. maybe he'll just go crazy and just...
Or just donuts in the middle of the track when he's got a moment. Yeah. Wow. Well, I think we're all looking forward to that. Rich, anything you're looking forward to?
I'm just going to put it out there now. I've got a source who has some news from Dubai, and last week in Dubai it was raining.
Oh!
And Dubai is not very far away from Abu Dhabi at all.
In a sort of Scotland, England kind of way, or
it's an hour's journey between the two, so they're quite close. So maybe
does the fact it has rained in the last week make it less likely?
I don't think they get a lot of rain, my understanding.
I have no idea. Before they were messing around and they were doing something called cloud seeding, where they were making it rain to make the environment more suitable for tourists, trying to control it. And apparently it rained for 2 weeks solid.
And people think we're the world.
Like proper sci-fi.
And it was, it's a Bernie Ecclestone coming up with that. Quick, we need sprinklers to make more people come.
They cannot drive in the rain. Because there's no drainage, it floods. And apparently you get to a crossroads and there's traffic lights and stuff. And these are the words I was told. And there'd be a car over there and a car over there and someone just stopped crying and they just don't know what to do in the wet.
It's a bit like us in the snow then, is that what we're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
the roads there, though, are pretty phenomenal. They have like 6-lane highways and there's virtually nothing on them except for, you know, you're sort of, and then it's just desert either side with camels. It's proper, you know, authentic. And then you'll just be, I say this because I have actually been there, and you'd be driving along in at sort of what you think is a reasonable speed. I'm being driven along at about sort of 80 miles an hour, and I remember looking out of the window and seeing a BMW M3 just come hurtling past at what must have been well into three figures, but it looked like it was not going very quickly because the road is so wide and there's nothing on it. It's just all, and like I say, you've just got camels just at the side there behind a little
also
fence,
also doing 150 miles an hour. Well, you know what, we've given ourselves something to look forward to there, which is good because I needed a bit of that, so I appreciate that. We'd normally do our prediction updates. If you want to, this is your last opportunity to make a set of predictions this season. All you need to do is get them into us before the start of FP1. You can make a maximum of 5 predictions. And if you are a Patreon member of the podcast, check that out, patreon.com/NRF1. Then if you top the Grand Prix standings on a particular weekend in terms of predictions, then you win a £5 voucher to either motorsport-merchandise.com or the Classic Team Lotus shop. And at the end of the season, we total up what everyone has won in terms of their vouchers and then dish it all out. Now, there is an apology here, and actually Nick Holder got in touch with us on the Patreon app as well, just talking about the fact that we have sort of stuttered our way through the Prediction League this year, because actually in our six previous seasons we've been bang on it. This year's been a little bit trickier, so I do apologise about all that. It's been a set of unforeseen circumstances in many regards, but we will of course have the full updated list. All the predictions are there. We will bring you bang up to date. We will announce who won each weekend, who won what, and of course who the overall winner was. Nick's very keen to know if he's beaten Steve Rust or not. I'd be amazed if you haven't, to be honest, Nick. We'll bring you all up to date with all that by the end of the season. Certainly in terms of the end of our year, I promise you. And I appreciate that it's not as much fun not knowing what the standings are over the course of the year. And what I will say is that come next season, we will be bang on it and we'll be all over it in terms of our usual wonderful standards, if not even better. So thank you for your support. Stick with us and we'll see what the standings are thrown up as at the end of the year. What it allows us all to do is make our one of our predictions, and then we'll have the rest of them on our bonus podcast over at Patreon in a bit. So one prediction, please, for the final race of the season. Nathan, your first, your debut. Let's have your first ever prediction on here.
Well, much as it pains me to say it, I think that Fernando in probably his last ever Formula One Grand Prix will not finish it.
Oh, wow.
I think he's going to DNF.
Wow.
Maybe on purpose.
That would be something. You can have a kudos point for that. Love it. Why not? Stuart?
Raikkonen will finish ahead of Vettel.
Oh.
Just to rub it in.
I love it. And I wouldn't argue against it either. Richard's got his phone out. He's been working in his out.
Yeah, I was going to say, seventh place in the race will go to Leclerc.
Is that because he keeps finishing seventh?
Last year, I mean, just remind everyone again, because obviously no one knows, but last year I went to Abu Dhabi, went to the race.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
And it was a really good weekend. And we saw Leclerc in F2. And he was brilliant, so he knows the track is obviously good there, so I'm going to say he's going to get essentially best of the rest and 7th place.
I love it, using your local knowledge, that's good stuff, Rich. Good stuff, Rich. I will say that I was going to say that Charles Leclerc will finish ahead of Sebastian Vettel, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say that Sebastian Vettel's going to win the race, because it's your classic, no one gives a anymore. Oh, look, Seb's won a race. There'll be real loads of hope for ahead of next season, even though it means absolutely nothing compared to next season. So there we go. That's my prediction. Seb's going to win. Holy moly. Right. Fantasy League is the other thing. Not a clue. We'll check it out after Abu Dhabi, because we've gone with the whole we're not changing it.
I have gone up to second.
Have you?
Just behind Ped.
Have you changed it?
No. I changed my turbo driver today.
Yeah.
Because it was Ocon, and I was like, f*** sake, Ocon.
Wow, I wonder if he got... Yeah, but they should get a penalty in the Fantasy League score.
Yeah,
they probably do as well.
It,
yeah.
So.
Right, well, in that case, we are done for the pod. Remember, if you want to hear any more from us talking about the beautiful fun we had in Brazil and our full Abu Dhabi predictions, opinions, and all that other gubbins, then you can take in our exclusive bonus Patreon podcast. So for that and a whole load of extra content, just check out patreon.com/nrf1. We will return with E236, our Abu Dhabi review, with another bonus Patreon edition included, all shortly after round 21 and the final round of the 2018 Formula One Championships. And so, you know, after that, we'll also be bringing you our, as we traditionally do, our 2018 season review. That will be before Christmas arrives and we all get a break from the circus. In the meantime, thanks to Future Radio and the Rush Cutters, and goodbye from the crew, which is, of course, Rich. Thanks, Rich.
No worries. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nathan, for your debut. Did you enjoy it?
I did. Thanks for having me. Wow. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. We'll do it again, most definitely. Thank you from me. Good night to you. So this has been the NRF1 podcast. It's all decided, meaning the only thing left to discover is the winner of the 2018 NRF1 Prediction League. I've got a lot of work to do. I better get on with it. Enjoy the build-up to the F1 season finale, and we'll see you once the racing is done and dusted for another year. Until then, good night. Good night.